Praise God. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, I know, like I said, we've had a wonderful camp meeting week this week. God's just doing awesome things. And I do want to let everybody know, if you didn't get a chance on Thursday night to watch the special camp meeting video, if you'll just go to YouTube, the Rhema USA channel, we actually have the video just by itself. I think it's called Camp Meeting Then and Now, 50 Years or something like that. And I encourage you, anyone who's a follower after this ministry needs to watch that video. Talks about the history of camp meeting, but also the history of camp meeting entitles the history of this ministry. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to read from the New Living Translation. My message today is running your race. You know, you need to run your race, the race that's set before you. You know, think about this. Let's think about, you know, I'm not sure how many runners we have here, but think about if the Olympic Committee, you know, came to you and said, we want you to run a marathon, you know, and, you know, in the next Olympics, and you're just the one out of the, 300,000 people in the United States or whatever it might be, we chose you. And you're thinking to yourself, man, last time I ran, it was through my refrigerator, you know, to make sure I get some food before the next commercial ended. And you're like, I'm not really equipped to run a marathon. But you know what? It's not what you're equipped to do. You know, God says, I'm going to train you. I'm going to prepare you for the race that I have before you, and you can do it. You know, because some people, we think that we're not adequate. Obviously, you would think, I'm not adequate to run a marathon. I'm not in shape to run a marathon. But you're thinking about, you know, natural things. You're thinking about what you can do. But God is thinking about what he can do through you if you're willing to run the race that he has for you. But you have to be willing. You know, see, so many of us, we think, well, we're just not good enough. There's no way I'm going to be able to do that. But it's not about doing things in your own strength. It's about doing things in his strength. So let's actually read what it says here, and then we'll look into it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1 starts out. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip aside every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. Now, the first part, it says that we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses. Now, when I think of the crowd of witnesses, well, first of all, let's think about this. There's a group of people that is cheering you on to run your race. You know, it's a whole lot easier to run a race when there's a bunch of people around you, you know, saying, come on, come on, you can make it. You know, it's not as easy when you run a race and there's nobody around about you telling you anything. You know, I haven't ran a physical running race in a long time, but I used to run a couple of, like, you know, races. I remember I ran the Love Run. KXOJ had the thing called the Love Run. It was a 4-mile race. It was over there by Utica Square, up and down some stupid hills. And just to tell you what kind of shape I was in, this was back in, I was in junior high, I think, back there. And so they had a guy at the first mile clicking off, you know, telling you how fast you're going. My first mile was 5:26. That's how good I was running. I'm going to tell you, my second mile wasn't that fast. And my third mile got a little slower, you know. But, you know, I probably started out a little too hot at that race. And that's the thing about it is sometimes we get going and we're thinking, I'm going to keep up with the fast guys. You know, but you know what? That wasn't your race. because you got to finish that race. Because, you know, the thing about this 4 mile run, there was no real fans cheering me on. And because there's no fans there, it was hard. Now, just like, you know, one of the most difficult things, I mean, I know we coming out of the pandemic, understand, you know, we watched some of the games with no fans in the stands. And I can't imagine, you know, it almost be like practice. I mean, there's nobody there watching you, so no one there cheering. Because, you know, there's a thing that they call in sports home field advantage. And they've been able to show that there's an advantage by having more fans. There's an advantage. Now, the issue with our race is we can't always see our fans, but we got to know that they're there. I mean, we got to know that there's, you know, fans there. Now, you know, I obviously understand that my grandparents are up there cheering me on. But not just my grandparents. I mean, you know, I even got like the Apostle Paul. I mean, think about this. You know, Paul penned so many words in the New Testament. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, every Sunday he's up there. Hey, they're talking about me. Hey, they're talking about me. I mean, think about someone, you know, I got a name. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, Shad, Me, and Go. You know, it's easier to say their names. You know, I mean, they have these weird names or whatever. But think about how many times, like, hey, those guys are talking about me. I mean, you know, I mean, we got a great cloud of witnesses, not just our ancestors, not just our, you know, our parents or grandparents. You got a great cloud. A number of people are up there saying, you know what? You can get through this. You can make it. You know, and they're cheering you on. But it says, because it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd, there's a lot of people that is cheering for you. I mean, maybe you're saying, well, I don't know if my parents are cheering for me or whatever, but there's somebody cheering for you. They're up there and saying, you know, you can do this. Anyway, it says, let us strip aside off every weight that slows us down. And then it says, comma, especially the sin, because people think that sin is the weight. No, I mean, sin is a weight, but see, it says, strip aside your weight, and then it talks about sin. All right, now, most of you know that we race cars, and, you know, what's important in a race car, to, you know, is making sure you make that race car as light as possible. Now, a lot of divisions have a minimum weight limit. We have minimum weight limits. I think it's like 1,250 pounds is the minimum weight limit for our race car. But the object is to get your car down to the minimum weight limit. All right? And so, I mean, people go as far, I mean, you know, they put as much titanium, because titanium doesn't weigh a whole lot, on the car as possible. Even down to carbon fiber bodies, because carbon fiber weighs less. Because the less weight you have, the faster that car will go. Now, what is our weight? Some people, you know, now obviously it could be natural weight. I've actually thought about my next book, entitled Lay Aside the Weight, talk about, you know, my weight loss journey. I mean, that's weight. But, I mean, a lot of weight is not really weight. It's distractions. Now, some things can be good, but they also can be distracting. I mean, the great thing, social media is awesome, but because right now, because of social media, we're able to broadcast this service all around the world for no cost, basically, except for whatever, you know, just to get it out there. And that's awesome. You know, because of social media, you'll have opportunity to interact with people that you'll never meet. And that's a great thing. But social media can also be a distraction. I mean, because, you know, that you have to refresh your phone every 2 minutes just to see what's going on. And, you know, but other things can be a distraction. You know, fishing might be good, but fishing can be a distraction if you have to do it all the time. All right? You say, well, I'm training for the Bassmasters. Well, did God call you to go to the Bassmasters? Or is that something you want to do? You know, golfing can be a distraction. I mean, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of things that can be a distraction to keep you from running your race. And, you know, and one of the things is we need to identify the distractions, but we also need to understand the devil is going to put distractions in your way to try to get you from running your race. I mean, he'll try to put things, and sometimes distractions seem, well, that's not bad. That's not a sin. It's not a sin to do this. I mean, you know what, but, well, I'll tell you what was a big distraction. Do you know a lot of people, a lot of Christians that have gone to church for a long time have quit coming to church now because, you know, they got out of the habit of coming during the pandemic, and they're like, man, it's a whole lot easier to sit here and eat our Cheerios and not come. Now, so we can watch it online. Well, you know, yes, you can watch it online, and we thank God that we're able to broadcast or whatever, but there's something about being there. I've had the opportunity to go to the Indy 500 a number of times, and I've had an opportunity to watch it on TV. You know which one's better? Being there. I've gone to the Daytona 500 a couple of times, you know, and then I've watched it on TV. I've never gone to a Super Bowl yet, but if someone wants to pay for me to go to a Super Bowl, I would love to go to one, okay? So I'm throwing that out there. There's a lot of people watching. Actually, I will tell you this. So there was one year, there was a certain individual that told me if Dallas makes it to the Super Bowl, they made the playoffs, and they actually made it to the NFC Championship game. And there he told me, if Dallas makes Super Bowl, I'm paying for you a ticket to go to Super Bowl. Do you know how hard I was praying for Dallas? I want the Cowboys, but I really want to go to Super Bowl because this guy has the wherewithal to make sure I get there. It wasn't going to be a big deal. He has the wherewithal to get me tickets. The Super Bowl was in Atlanta that year. I do know that. And so Cowboys lost in the NFC Championship game. And I was disappointed for two reasons. I want to go to the Super Bowl. In fact, I'll go to the Super Bowl to watch anybody play, okay? I'm a big football fan. I did have an opportunity one time to go to the World Series. One of my good friends out in the San Francisco area, it was the Giants, San Francisco Giants playing the Texas Rangers. And he actually has field level tickets. And he's like, it's the World Series. You know, it was like game 3 or game 4. He goes, Craig, if you want to come on out, you know. So, man, I checked the price of tickets the last minute. I just didn't feel it was in the budget to do it. And plus, I was kind of busy, you know. But, you know, we can plan this in advance if you just, you know. But, of course, I guess you don't know who's going to go to the World Series. But there's just something about being in the game, being at the game or at the event. I have had the opportunity to go see the Masters, you know, to be in Augusta, and you just can't describe it. Undescribable what Augusta's like, so I have gone to a lot of sporting events. So I understand when the Bible says, do not forsake to assemble yourself together. There's something about being here. And, you know, because yes, every one of you here in this auditorium could have stayed home and watched it online. But why didn't you? There's something about being there. You know, sometimes being here also is less distractions. Because I know when you're at home, you know, sometimes, I need to run the vacuum cleaner to clean up that mess right there. I need to do this, or your kids are griping and your dog's barking and all this kind of stuff. There's distractions. But you know what? We need to come together and run our race. Now, obviously we should lay aside the distractions, but we also should lay aside the sin. And I'm not even going to go into that. I mean, that's pretty obvious. And it says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. You realize that God has put you on the planet to run your race, and you're the only one that can do it. God has put people in your path that he wants you to be an influence to. Because, you know, there are certain people that I can relate to and there are certain people I can't relate to. I'm just not a skateboarder. I tried it a couple of times, fell on my rear end, got some bruises, and decided that wasn't for me. All right, I'm not a skateboarder. I don't know how skateboarders, you know, that kind of crowd thinks or acts or why they think or act the way they do. I have no clue. I got no clue. Now, I understand the auto, you know, I understand motorsports. I understand those people and how they think and act because I hang around them all the time. You know, God has placed in ourselves people who we hang around, that you have an opportunity to be a blessing to be a light to them. Now, the question is, are you influencing the people that you get to hang around? Are they influencing you? Are they changing your course of your race? Are you running your race? I was reading the Passion Translation. It's interesting how it says. It says, verse 1, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds, so we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. Now, interesting this says that we should let go of every wound that has pierced us. Do you know that sometimes because things have happened to you in life that, you know, hurts that have happened have sometimes caused you not to run the race, at least the way you should? And you're always saying, well, because of this, I can't do it. You know, like many people might say, well, because of my knee injury, I can't run that race anymore. Well, you know, the Bible says by his stripes you were healed. Now, a lot of times that we say because of this, you know, you're supposed to run your race no matter what. Now, here's the thing. In your race of life, number one, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. All right? It's a marathon. Now, see, if you're going to run a sprint, if you're going to run, you realize if you're going to run, well, I used to say the 100-yard dash, but that makes me old. 100-meter, the 100, you know, 100 meters, that goes by in seconds. You know, going to the motorsports analogy, I mean, there's a drag race, and then there's endurance races. All right, I mean, you know, drag race, you know, you get people get 300 miles, and, you know, they're driving 300 miles an hour for a few seconds, and they're done. Then we have races like the Indy 500, that's 500 miles. And then you have races like the Daytona 24, that's 24 hours. All right, and there's like a Baja 1000. I mean, you know, races are different, you know, different things, and you train differently for how long your race is. Well, you're running a marathon. Well, how long am I supposed to run, Craig? I don't even know. I don't know how long your race is, but you're supposed to run until it's done. Run until it's done. Now, you know, the thing is, and I said it this last week, you know, we shouldn't retire. We should refire. It's not the Indy 499 or 485. I mean, you know, what if you're like running the Indy 500 and okay, your owner says, okay, I want you to go out there. I want you to drive 485 miles as hard as you can. Then the last, you know, few miles, you just go easy. Hopefully you ran 485 miles faster than everybody else and you'll just stay out front. No, you don't do that. You run all 500 miles. You run all 500 miles. Same way with the, you know, Rolex, Daytona Rolex 24 or the 24 Hours of Le Mans. It's 24 hours. It's an endurance race. But you don't run 23 hours and 52 minutes. In fact, if you stop after 23:52, you'll get a did not finish. I mean, you'll get the same classification as the guy that stopped on the first lap. Now, some people say, well, yeah, but I'm older. I'm worn out. Do you realize in a car race, toward the end of the race, the tires are worn out. The driver is worn out. Sometimes some of the parts aren't working really, really good. And they're running slower lap times. So maybe as you get older, maybe you run slower lap times, but it doesn't mean you quit. I mean, Dad even said it, you know, this week, I might slow down some, but I'm never quitting. In fact, he can't quit because he has the saying, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Do you realize the only way that you can be knocked off your race is if you quit running? Because God's always going to be with you, helping you run your race. Now, your race is marked out before you, but the thing is, you know, it's probably, you know, like going running through the woods or whatever. You don't see the finish line. Now, obviously, a lot of times if you're running, if you're driving in a some kind of, you know where the finish line is. But, you know, the race that we're running, we don't know where the finish line is. We don't know how long it is. But we just need to keep running one step at a time. Now, here, right here, the Passion Translation, it says this. It says, then we'll be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination. You know, I like that. Do you realize people, when they start the beginning of a race, you know, when you start the beginning of a project, a lot of times you do that project with passion and determination. It's so awesome. But 3 years later, it's not as awesome. Especially if you happen to be an ADD individual, you're like, man, I'm tired of running this race. I want to run somebody else's race now. You know, but I mean, we think about my grandfather. Do you realize that he preached the same messages from the time he started preaching until the day he passed on? You know, but why? Because God gave him the direction to go teach my people faith. Period. And by going teaching my people faith meant he read the same scriptures over and over and over and over and over and over. That's what he would do. He would repeat it over and over and over and over and over. And some people say, well, Brother Hagin, when are you going to move forward? Well, whenever you get it. But you know what? Maybe you've got it, but there's somebody over here who hasn't yet. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're like, well, this is kind of boring. I mean, I've done it before. It doesn't matter what you've done before. You're not running the race for you. You're running the race to help somebody else that needs to get a hold of what you have. You know, and I don't care how ADD distracted you get, you need to make sure you stay on course. You know, it kind of reminds me of the original Star Wars. I guess it was actually, if you go back to the whole thing, it actually becomes number four. But the original Star Wars, when they're going to blow up the Death Star, anyone see Star Wars? All right, you know, even if you are younger, you might have seen the. And remember that they were there, they're flying through, and you hear the guy, stay on target, stay on target. Anyone remember that? Stay on target. So, well, while you're running your race, you know what? God sometimes is saying, stay on target, stay on target, stay on target. You know, don't get distracted by the winds and the waves, because so many of us, we get distracted by what's going on, you know, the economy and this and those are just distractions. It's kind of like the disciples when they're in the boat with Jesus and Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And he goes, I'm taking a nap. And then in the middle of the night, they go all... They got distracted because they begin to look at the winds and the waves like, how are we going to make it to the other side? We can make it to the other side because Jesus is in your boat. He's going to get you over there. But they begin to look at the distractions, and the distractions were making them, you know, well, I don't think we're going to finish this race. Well, you're going to finish the race as long as you don't quit running. Stay on target. Stay on target. Now, I remember me and my father, we used to run... ride enduro motorcycles. through the woods, and basically they would say you need to keep a certain, you know, certain speed through these woods. Well, here's the thing. These motorcycles that we drove had no speedometer. So I don't know what 15 miles an hour, and 15 miles an hour sounds really slow, but when you're going through trees that your handlebars barely fit through. In fact, actually before the race, they would come and they had a thing called an ouch bar. And they would put it over your handlebars and you would know how this was the narrowest tree. In fact, one of my dad's motorcycles, they put the ouch bar on his thing and he found out that we actually cut inches off his handlebars because his handlebars were too wide. And I don't know how many times going through the trees we do one of these things, you know, just to get through the trees. So you had to keep 15 miles an hour through trees. Well, so I was getting ready to run this race, or we all were, and I remember that the gentleman, you know, sometimes we should listen. You know, now there were rules to this race, and one of the things was that, okay, we're going through the woods, and there's different trails or whatever. We want you to make sure you're always following the blue arrows, all right? And so basically every few, you know, I don't know how far, but you would see a blue arrow pointing this way or pointing that way, or, you know, and it was leading us through this trail. You know, and he said it a couple of times, follow the blue arrows, follow the blue arrows, follow the blue arrows. So now he did tell us there's other arrows. He didn't tell us what color they were. Make sure don't follow them. Follow the blue arrows. Well, when you're running this race and, you know, when your bike's crashed, I don't know how many times because driver error, you know, and you're getting tired. I was riding through the woods, you know, doing my thing, and all of a sudden, I noticed I was following the red arrows. Thank God that I had a flashback. Follow the blue arrows. And then I'm thinking, how far have I been following red arrows? I don't even know. But what happened was I got distracted for just a moment, and I saw a red arrow, and I just started following it. Well, which meant now I got to go back, find out where I missed it, and get back on course. All right? And then, in order to stay up with what I had to do, now I got to run this course faster. Now, here's the thing. First of all, be willing to go back when you missed it. And that's something a lot of people have trouble doing. First of all, people don't want to admit they missed it. When they kind of got off course, when they got distracted, and you know, I don't know how far it was because I don't have a speedometer. I don't know how far I've driven. At that time, I mean, this is back in the early 80s, and some people had computers of some sort that they would fall in a special watch. I didn't have nothing. I just had a bike. You know, I was just glad to have a bike. All right. Now, so I went back. I was mad at myself, but sometimes you got to get over that too. You know, because sometimes being mad at ourselves, you know, and blaming ourselves that we'll never be able to run the race because we're too busy yelling at ourselves. You know, forgetting those things which are behind, we press toward the mark, it says there in Philippians chapter 3. So you know what? Okay, I messed up. I get it. I don't need you to remind me. I already remember. Thank God that somebody, I called to remembrance, you know, the red arrows. That I'm supposed to be on the blue arrows, not the red ones. You know, that's why I thank God that I know the word of God. Because the word of God will remind me, hey, I'm kind of off course here. I haven't been following the course that God has for me. Now, see, do you understand the red arrows were for somebody else's race, not for mine? Now, I will tell you, sometimes when we're trying to go to this seminar and that seminar or whatever, they'll be saying, you know what, these red arrows are pretty awesome. Maybe you should do the red arrow thing. But don't get distracted, because you're not running the red arrow race. You're running your race. The race that God chose you for. You're the only one that can run your race. Do you realize that nobody else can run the race that God has for you? Other people might run similar races, but they're not running your race. They don't know the same people, or they're not around the same people. So God has a race for you, a very specific one. And when you get off course, come back. Come back. I mean, I don't know how many times I've talked to people and they're like, you know what? I mean, I know some people who for whatever reason didn't graduate because they got off course. And they said, you know what, Craig, I think I need to come back to where I was before, you know, come back and finish second year, or come back or whatever. And, you know, we need to come back sometimes. I know some people that for whatever reason, they felt that God had called them someplace else, and they moved back to Tulsa, and they don't even come back to church to hang around some people that can help them get, you know, recharged, refired, because they're too embarrassed. See, it's not even about you. You know what? It takes a big person, and I don't mean big, like literally big. I mean, you know, your ego to say, I missed it. I shouldn't have gone. Or I launched out too early. You realize that sometimes, you know, God might have a specific race for you, but he says now is not the time. You know? You need to get some training, some you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. Just get back. Now, I want to finish my story on my race. I want to let everybody know. I got back. The way it was, and Dad talked about this even this week, is the way it was is we have these checkpoints. Every time you go to a checkpoint, you know, if you're 1 minute late, you lose they give you 1 point. Your whole point, you're trying to stay at zero. If you're right on time, you get a zero. If you're too fast, it's 2 points for every minute you're too fast. So you don't want to be too fast. If you're too slow, it's 1 minute for every minute you're too slow. So it's better to be too slow than too fast. Because they say, well, you don't want to come in and say, I burnt the checkpoint. I was there too early. So I came in my next checkpoint. I was 8 minutes too slow. I lost 8 points. And on this particular race, there were only two checkpoints, and then there was a finish line, which was the third checkpoint. The next checkpoint, I checked in at zero. I mean, I checked in right on time. So I made up the time, and I was right on time. But I ended up that race with a second place trophy that was like this big. The first place trophy was like this big. I still got a trophy like this big. But I was second place because I got on the red arrows. What if I would have never, I would have won the thing if I would have stayed on the blue arrows, but I didn't. But you know what? That race finished, and I don't know, it was like a 20-mile race or whatever. You know what? But here's the thing. As long as you're sitting here or there, wherever you might be, you're still running your race. You know, you can't analyze what you did wrong. And that's the thing. Too many of us, we're trying to figure out what we did wrong, and we stop our race. God, what did I do wrong? God, sometimes we knew we did wrong. We don't, you know, just go back to where you messed up and move forward. So many people are trying to figure out why, how, when. Well, that's really, faith is unquestioning belief. Well, any kind of question is not faith. That's according to Webster's New World Dictionary. An unquestioning belief. You know, just get back on target and stay on target. Knowing that there'll be distractions, or my dad calls them obstacles. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of me. He can't pronounce obstacles. He says obstacles. But you know what? Here's the thing. In life, you're running a marathon, but in the middle of your marathon, you're going to have obstacle courses. And you're like, Well, now I have this wall that I have to crawl a rope over and slide, you know, go over. And I got to run through a barrel and all these kind of things. I mean, why are you putting that in my way, Lord? Well, number one, the Lord's just saying, here's your race. The devil is trying to put the obstacles in your way. You know what? And here's the thing. Everybody is like looking for a blueprint on how to run your race. Well, it's your race, not my race. I can't give you a blueprint. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people, you know, in life are following blueprints. A lot of churches, you know, a lot of pastors, they go to this church growth conference and that church growth, you know, and, you know, how to have a big church in 3 easy steps and all these kind of things. They're reading all these books and stuff. Here's the thing. None of those people, I mean, not one time did I ever hear of a conference called the Pandemic Preparedness Conference before the pandemic hit. So when I found out that all these church growth things didn't really work well during COVID. But I tell you what did, following the leading of the Spirit of God, you know, because there was no, well, maybe if we would have read the church of the 1900s or whenever the big flu epidemic, 1913 or 14 or 15, I don't remember when it was. See, I don't even care. I do care about history, but you know what? If I'm so much looking into history, I'm not looking into what God has for me or for you. It's about what's in front of me, not what's behind me. We've had 50 years of great things, but you know what? We can't stop and say, okay, praise God, there's 50 years. Let's stop and go home. You know, that was 50 good years. Well, here's the thing. We're not running the Indy 500. It's the Indy 5000. All right? We're not just running for 24 hours. We're running till Jesus comes. There's two ends to my race. I mean, there's going to be one of two scenarios. Jesus is coming back, or I'm going to finish my course here on earth. Those are the two things. And so I am going to keep running my race, ministering to the people that God has put before me. And see, sometimes the way I minister is just being a good person, just showing a Christ-like attitude. You know what? Just being happy in the middle of adverse circumstances says a lot. Because people are like, do you know the economy's bad, guys? I mean, you know, how are you happy? I mean, you know what? The other day I was filling up with fuel at a Quick Trip and thinking, well, first of all, people think, man, gas is cheap. It's only $3.49 now. And I'm scratching my head. But here's the thing, you know, I'm like, man, it's been a long time since I had to pay this much for a full tank of gas. But I just laughed. I said, you know, I'm going to get through this. I'm not dependent upon how much gas is or how much this is or how much that is. In fact, my scripture of the year was exceedingly, abundantly, more than I can ask or think. And you know what? Whenever we get caught up on how much everything is, we forget about, hey, just run your race. Just run your race. You know, I just keep remembering, you know, the word says that he's going to provide. All right. I'm on verse 2. I'll read from Passion Translation here. It says, we look away from the natural realm and we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who births faith within us and who leads us forward into faith perfection. And you know, so what? Forget about your natural realm. Forget about natural things. Sometimes you're like, well, man, you know, it's not, I mean, naturally, this is not a time to launch out. Well, if Jesus says launch out, you launch out. So obviously, if, you know, understand, our technology today is so much better than when Jesus' time was. All right? So if the disciples and Jesus had the same technology that we had, And if they could have looked at the weather report and they're like, you know what, maybe we shouldn't go to the other side today. Because there's a big storm of brewing. You know, and see, that's the problem. Sometimes because we have these forecasts, it distracts us. You know, because we know what the economy is like and we know what path that the economy is going on. So because of that forecast, we're thinking, well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do. But that's anti the word. My grandfather always would tell me, what does the word say? The word says, I can do all things through Christ that gives me the strength. So he's going to give me the strength, the power, the ability to run my race in the middle of any kind of obstacle that the devil wants to throw out. I mean, he can throw the tacks, he can throw, you know, everything, the spikes, it doesn't matter. I'm not moved by what I see. How many times do we say that, but we get moved by what we see? The biggest thing he's put upon us right now, or last few years, has been the spirit of fear. When we have a scripture that says we shouldn't be in the spirit of fear, you know, but, you know, he's trying to throw everything he can because his time is short. And here's the thing, the better runner you are, the more obstacles he's going to throw at you. And some people, I've heard people say, well, you know, they go to start a church and it just seems that everything that, you know, that can go wrong goes wrong, which is Murphy's Law. And they're like complaining. And I'm like, well, praise God. And they're like, well that's not the no, praise God, because the devil's after you. You must be doing something right. If the devil's leaving you alone, you might be on the wrong course. You know, but he's after you. He's trying to stop you. But you know what? Remember my grandfather's favorite song, the blood-bought church? Nothing can stop this mighty moving force. There's nothing that's going to stop you if you're determined that I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. No matter what obstacle comes my way, I'm going to keep running my race with perseverance, knowing that God has a plan for me and I'm here to minister to other people. You know what? Every time that I've actually thought, well, I don't think that many times, you know, but there's been a few times when I thought, man, I'm just tired of this. Maybe I should quit the ministry. Every time I did that, all of a sudden I would get an email, a text message, a phone call from somebody that telling me, you know, that how I ministered to him so much and it was because of me, or because of me following God's plan, I should say, that they were able to exist, or, you know, or, I mean, this one person told me, says, you know, my daughter celebrated her 12th birthday, and I want to thank you, because when me and my wife, or, you know, when we were engaged to be married, she had an incurable disease. We didn't know how long she was going to live, and you laid hands on her, and she immediately got her healing. And I want to thank you, because if it wasn't for you ministering to him, being used by God in her living, then I wouldn't have my 12-year-old daughter today. And that was the day I was thinking about stopping. And see, I don't run my race for myself. I run my race for everybody else, because there's a lost and a dying and hurting world that's going to hell. And God has put people in your path to help them. And you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one. You're the person that God has to minister to people. Now, you know, I know my grandfather always says, he says, I never prayed, not one time, Lord, bless me. But I prayed every day, Lord, make me a blessing to somebody. Put somebody across my path as I run my race that I can be a blessing to. That I can be a blessing to. Now, you know, one thing, it's really hard a lot of times, because sometimes we look at things and we're thinking, well, you know, what is my path, Lord? I don't know everything. You know what? Here's the thing. The Lord doesn't give you your whole race, because if he did, you couldn't, you would say, I can't do that. I can't do that. There's no way I can do it. But it's not about you doing things in your own strength. Let's go back to the Old Testament. I love this scripture. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I'll read from the New Living. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. It's not whether you can do it. It's God can help you do it. But it goes on to say, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And it's not the red arrows, folks. See, like I said, when I was running that, when we were racing, every few feet there would be an arrow, but I didn't know where the next arrow was going to be. And that's the thing, when you're following after your race, you don't know the next arrow, the next turn, the next tree, the next obstacle, because we would have to go up hills, over rocks, through creek beds, and all these things. You know, I didn't know what was in front of me. I just knew the arrow said that way. And that's the same way God leads us. You're not going to know everything that's in front of you. And if you did, you would be like, man, there is no way. But it's not about where you're at today. It's about, you know what? He's going to put that path, and you should stay focused. Make sure stay focused, because don't get distracted. Make sure you follow the blue arrows. Because it's important to follow the path that he has for you. Yeah, but maybe the red arrows look easier. You know what? It's not about being easy. In fact, sometimes it's actually better that something was hard. Because see, I'll give you an example. Remember David and Goliath Well, the reason that David knew he could defeat Goliath is because he already defeated a lion and a bear. And I don't know about you, but lions and bears are pretty scary. You're like, well, I went to the zoo and saw a lion and a bear. Yeah, but they were in a cage and they're not getting to you. This guy's out in the wild hanging out with their food. You realize that he was hanging out with lion food and bear food. And I want you to understand that David was not armed with a .357. He didn't have an AR-15 or even a shotgun. He didn't have a 12-gauge. David had a staff and a sling. That's all he had. But he defeated the lion and he defeated the bear. So when the giant came, I'm like, okay, I know how to use this thing. In fact, he even told the giants, hey, I defeated the lion, I defeated the bear, and I'm going to defeat you. But he knew it wasn't in his own strength. He knew it wasn't in his own power. He knew it wasn't in his own ability. Wasn't about what he could do. It's about what God could do through him. But he had to follow the blue arrows. He had to run the race. And in his race, there was a giant in front of him. First of all, there was a bear. Secondly, there was a lion. And then it's like, you know what? If God can deliver me from the lion and the bear, he's going to deliver me from you. So sometimes when things look hard, they're like, you know, that's just getting me ready for my next obstacle. It'll be okay. You know what? God leads us one step at a time. Psalms 37:23 says it this way, New King James. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he should not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Sometimes that's kind of hard to understand. So New Living says it this way. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. So when you're running the race, you know, there's a great call of witnesses, but the Lord's holding you by the hand and running with you. In fact, the Bible says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's running with you every step of the time. And he's saying, okay, here's step one, here's step two, here's step three. You're like, well, I want to know what step 57 is. It doesn't work that way. He's leading you one step at a time, one step at a time, one step. The way you run your race is putting your foot down one step at a time, 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 one step at a time. And sometimes he only gives you that one step. Do that one step and he'll give you the next one. But like, Lord, I want to know the ultimate plan. Be willing to step out. See, if you knew the ultimate plan, you can't walk in faith. Walking in faith is taking that step, not knowing where the next one is. But knowing that God put this, you know, think about this: 50 years of camp meeting. Step one, have camp meeting. Step two in camp meeting, bless God, we're going to start a Bible school. Step three, start the Bible school. But don't forget about camp meeting. Keep camp meeting going, but now we have camp meeting and a Bible school. And it goes on, you know, and on, and we keep doing what God called us to do. And, you know, then not Brother Hagin, but my father got the direction, start Bible schools all over the world. We started with one. We started and then got two. Those two had issues. But we didn't stop. You know, you have issues sometimes. You're all going to have issues. We don't stop. If you stop, you can't finish your race. You just keep going one step at a time, one step at a time, you know, and he'll lead you and he'll guide you and he'll show you the way. You know what? My grandfather said that I go as much by what he doesn't say as what he does say. What do you mean by that? Well, you know, when I start taking the step and he doesn't say no, I can keep stepping. But if he says no, I got to turn around. You know, and I said it like I said, you know, I already said this, don't retire, refire. All right. 1 Corinthians 9:22, and I know I got to finish this really fast. 9:22, New Living says this: when I am with those who are weak, this is Paul talking, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and to share in his blessing. So you know what? What does that mean? I'm trying to be all things to all people, so some might get saved. Wherever God leads me, I try to, you know, to be a blessing to them because they're on my race. God has put me in this place to be a blessing to people that are around me. I mean, over the last few years, I've met people that I thought I would never meet, been able to be an influence to people I not thought I would. It's just been incredible where God has put me and who I'm able to talk to be a blessing to them. You know, and you know, I mean, I couldn't have planned it out. You just keep running. You just keep running. And like, well, why are you in this race? I don't know. I'm just here to run. I'm just here to run. You know, it's awesome what God is doing. But ultimately, our ultimate goal is to get to 2 Timothy 4:7. Well, what's 2 Timothy 4:7? Well, Paul told us his son in the faith, Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Ultimately, we're going to get to a point where, you know, I'm completed. I'm done. But you know what? Here's the thing. Paul would have never been done if he wouldn't have had a Timothy. If he wouldn't have had somebody. And there was more than one. Timothy just is a person. You know what? Paul had somebody that said, okay, I'm about into my race, but see, our race here on earth is not just a marathon for you, it's a baton race. So when by the time you finish your course, you hand your baton off to the next person. And it's happened all the way from Jesus, all the way through to 2022 on July the 31st. Jesus, you know, got his disciples, and when he was left, he handed off 12 batons, or maybe 70 batons, because there was, I mean, it didn't matter. You know, what he said, he imparted. You know what, and everything he imparted also changed the life of Paul. Paul wasn't with Jesus. Do you realize that sometimes you have to explain that Paul wasn't one of the 12? It wasn't like, okay, Judas messed up, so let's bring Paul in. No. Paul was influenced by one of the 12 or one of the 70. Paul got influenced, and then Paul ran his race, and he handed his baton off to Timothy. And he ran his race, and he handed, you know, they handed the baton off. You know, so ultimately, we had to realize that you know, in my own mind, I think, and I've told my grandfather, laying there in the hospital room, that, you know, I'm gonna carry it on, knowing that I'm carrying. But see, you know, I've already known in my entire life, I'm gonna carry it on, but I'm gonna pass the baton. At some point in time, if the Lord tarries his coming, I will pass the baton. And the big thing is, you know, going back, if some of you happen to be Raymer graduates, especially in the newer era, after we came out with the Rhema alma mater, which I pinned these words myself, or I helped pin these words, there's like four of us that wrote the song. I was trained so to the world I could go, Rhema taught me what I needed to know. See, I was taught what I needed to know, but now it's time to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But it goes on. The next line is, the word and the spirit, the sweet Holy Ghost. See, that's what we learned at Rhema. Whether you learned it through a book or you learned it by coming to school, you learned about the word of God, the spirit of faith, and the Holy Spirit, how to be led by the Spirit of God, and we keep running. And we keep running, and we keep running, and then we keep running. And at some point in time, that we'll get to the point where we finish our course. Now, Paul says, I finished my course with joy. Remember that? Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't know how many times people are worn out before they finish. And they're like, man, this is just too much. This is just too hard. Well, the only thing that's too much is God. My God is too much. He's too good. He's too faithful. And he's going to get me through each and every situation. And I'm going to be happy about it. And if I'm not happy, I'm going to clap my hands. And I'm going to stomp my feet till I get happy. Because I learned that in children's church. And like I said, I mean, I literally do this. If I get to a point, you know, God gets on to me. And he's like, why are you not happy? Is I just start clapping my hands. Because I learned in children's church, you know, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and know it, stomp your feet. You know what? I'm going to be joyful no matter what obstacle comes, no matter what pandemic, what this, what that. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be happy. And you know, it's all going to be okay because I know that everywhere I go, he's still holding me by the hand. He's still picking me up, even when I'm stumbling. I'm going to keep running. I know there's a grandstand of people. I mean, I'm talking, it says a great, they're out there like, keep going. You can do this. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Keep running. Don't stop. There's people out there that need you to minister to them. How do I do it? I just be a light to this world. You know, it's just that simple. I mean, this is after a camp meeting, and I'm actually in a really good mood. And I will say there was one time in my life that after camp meeting, I was always tired and worn out, but I don't want to be tired and worn out. So I decided not to be tired and worn out. In fact, I was at yesterday, I left my house at 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday morning after camp meeting to go to a meeting because, you know, I happened to be the precinct chairman of Precinct 210 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Tulsa County, and we had a precinct meeting yesterday, and I was not going to go at one point. Oh, but it's after camp meeting, and you know, I don't really have to go. A lot of people won't be there, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm like, you know what? I took a position, and I should be faithful to what I've taken. Plus, I can do it. It's not that big a deal. Now, I did come home and take a nap. I do want to let you know. I went and ate lunch and came back and took a nap because I was tired. But you know what? The thing about it is, no matter what obstacle comes, no matter what situation comes, we have a race to run. We have a race to run. We have a book out there that says, don't quit, your faith will see you through. You're going to get through this. I'm here to tell you, you're going to have obstacles. There's going to be an obstacle course on your race. There's going to be times that, man, this is so easy. Anyone can run this race. You know, it's so easy. Then all of a sudden, boom, there's a rock wall in front of you. There's a mountain, but praise God, you have Mark 11:23. You know what to do when a mountain comes in front of you. You've been taught. You've been trained. So it doesn't matter. You know, the saying in the world, come hell or high water, you're going to get through it. Amen. With God's help. Because there's a lost and a dying world waiting for you to run your race. There's somebody out there that needs you to change their life. You know, it's just so awesome. This past week, as you begin to hear stories about how this person's life and that person's life was changed, or even I heard stories of what. My father came to camp meeting and God got a hold of him, changed his life, and because of the direction that God put him on, I'm here today. Amen. And my life was changed. I just read one of those stories on Instagram today about one of our graduates that talked about that his father came to camp meeting in 1983, and later on, just a few months later, he came out. First of all, I'll even tell you who it was. It was Kenneth Estrada. And he says that my father named me after Brother Hagin. I didn't even know that. Thought that was maybe something, you know. And it literally changed my life. But you know what? If you run your race, you're going to literally change somebody else's life. There's somebody out there that needs you. Because I'm telling you, man, in the natural, a lot of people are hurting. A lot of people don't know what to do, but you know what to do. Run your race, be full of joy, and ultimately finish your course with joy. Fight a good fight and pass the baton. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you for each and every person that's here, each and every person that's watching online. But Father God, we just thank you to help us to know that we all have a race to run and we are willing and obedient to run that race, Father. Father God, strengthen us, empower us, help us not to be griping about our race, but help us to have joy and be happy, knowing that we're going to get through it, knowing that you have more steps for us to take, Father. Father God, we thank you to help us to refocus on that race that we have. Help us to refire. Help us to know that you are putting individuals across our path on a daily basis so that we can be an influence to, that we can be a light to. Father God, help us to understand the significance of the race that you've called us to do and help us to run it with passion and determination. Knowing Jesus Christ and him crucified, help us to deliver the message of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave an only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe on him shall have life and have it everlasting. Father God, help us to win more people to Christ. Help us to minister to more people. Help us to be a light to this world. Help us to be there for the brokenhearted. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but I want to know him today. I've never been saved, but I want to today. Lift your hand right now in the auditorium. If you're here today and you say, Craig, I'm not saved and I want to be. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I know what it is to be saved, but I've kind of turned my back. I went away. But today I want to come home and rededicate my life to God and run the race that God has for me. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. There's a hand. Thank you. Anyone else that said I've never been saved? Or I want to rededicate my life today to run my race, to do what you've called me to do. Or maybe here today, and you've heard about the Holy Spirit. You've heard about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, but you've never been filled. You know, Acts 2:4 said they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I tell you what, being filled with the Holy Ghost is extra power from on high. It helps you run your race a whole lot faster. If you've never been filled with the Spirit of God, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to give you that extra power. I tell you what, man, it's a whole lot easier to win. If you have more horsepower, it's a whole lot easier to run faster, to move faster. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. All right, there's a hand. Thank you. All right, let's all stand up. If you lifted your hand for prayer or didn't lift your hand, but you know you should have and your heart's beating real strong, you're like, I should have lifted my hand. If you lift your hand or didn't lift your hand, come down here. Come down here. We want to minister. We want to make sure that you got what you came for. You say it's a big place and people are watching. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God has a race for you and he wants you to run. Anyone else, you say, I need to be saved. I want to rededicate my life to God. Or I want to be filled with the Spirit. If that's you, come on down here. Fired up, ready to receive. Father God, we thank you for Linda. We thank you for her life. And we thank you, Father, for the race that you have for her. We thank you, Father, for forgiving her for her sins. We thank you, Father, for filling her with the Holy Ghost. And we thank you, Father, that the best is yet to come. We thank you, Father, for her life. And she'll never be the same again after today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Linda, we have a gift we want to give you. We want to give you these three books. Can you take those? And we want you to go. This is the Henningsons right here. They want to go pray with you and make sure that you got what you came for. Just follow them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Reach your hands out toward Linda. Father God, we thank you for Linda. We thank you, Father, for what you have for her. We thank you for her life, Father. And we thank you, Father, for filling her up, getting her ready for the race that you have for her. And we just thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Sorry I went a little long. It's 11:44, but it's okay. You know, sometimes we get so caught up on time that we don't let God move. I know sometimes people, you know, they're like, well, man, the Baptist are going to beat me to the restroom if I am. We get out before noon anyway, so you should be at the Baptist. They're probably, you know, they probably won't get out to noon anyway. You know, God's doing great things, but he has a race for you to run. You're not going to know which step to take all the time, but he'll lead you, he'll guide you, he'll show you the way. Amen. Amen. So be sure to run your race. Well, don't forget, 6 o'clock tonight, we have another wonderful service tonight. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you this morning. The connection team will be in the aisle. We have a gift for you. If you'll just follow them real quickly to the north lobby, they'll give you that gift. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, the way we dismiss around here, Brother Dan, we'll sing a song and dismiss you. Amen. Amen. Run your race with passion and determination. God bless you guys. We'll see you tonight.